Level 2, C1. Section 1. Listening. I'm going to give you the instructions for this part of the test. You will hear this sound at the start of each piece. Remember to transfer your answers to the optical mark form before the end of the exam. Now open your question paper and look at Part 1, Section A. Listening, Part 1, Section A. You will hear Peter Brown, a government minister, talking to Leslie Walker, an education reporter, about the teaching of Mandarin in England. For questions 1 to 5, choose the correct answer, A, B, or C. You will hear Section A twice. You have 1 minute to read the questions for Section A.
In this programme, we're looking at the government's current interest in teaching foreign language to students in secondary schools in England. In particular, we're talking about Mandarin Chinese, the language used by most Chinese speakers. With us in the studio today is Peter Brown from the Ministry for Education to tell us more about this latest initiative.
Thank you, Leslie, for inviting me onto the programme. And yes, it is a new and exciting project, and one which we are already piloting in some schools in London.
So, Peter, what's behind this focus on a new foreign language?
Well, as you know, China used to be called a sleeping giant. Now, as the world's fastest-growing major economy, it is well and truly awake.
Yes, but what's that got to do with our children learning languages? Isn't it enough that children study French, German or Spanish in school?
No, it's not enough because things have moved on. Technological change has eliminated distance. The days are over when it made sense to concentrate solely on our immediate neighbours, commercially, politically, or linguistically.
So why are you encouraging the teaching of Mandarin Chinese?
Well, British exports to China are expected to quadruple by the end of the next decade, and young people have to be equipped with the skills they'll need in business, just as British companies will have to adapt in order to succeed in a rapidly changing world. Britain wants to have a workforce which is able to do business in other languages, and many employers are now actively looking to recruit multilingual staff. A survey last year found that more than 38% of employers were looking for Mandarin or Cantonese speakers to join their companies.
Can you give an example of an organisation seeking Mandarin speakers?
Yes, Tesco, which is one of the UK's largest supermarket chains and a major employer. Tesco's chairman has demanded that the government invest in Mandarin Chinese teaching so that young people are ready for a future in which China will play a big role.
So how can we ensure we have enough teachers to meet the government's requirements?
Well, the Prime Minister has just unveiled a programme to train 1,000 Mandarin language teachers over the next 5 years. This should ultimately provide enough teachers to ensure that every secondary school pupil in England who wants to learn the language can do so. The teachers will be trained through short courses at English universities and a special summer training course at Beijing University in China.
That sounds a challenging program. Are we going to be ready to start this within the next academic year?
We'll have to be. China is a strong economic force, and demand for fluent speakers of Chinese languages is increasing on a daily basis. It's only right that we invest in our children and provide them with the opportunity to learn these skills and widen their horizons. It's just a matter of time before.
Now listen again.
In this program, we're looking at the government's current interest in teaching foreign language to students in secondary schools in England. In particular, we're talking about Mandarin Chinese, the language used by most Chinese speakers. With us in the studio today is Peter Brown from the Ministry for Education to tell us more about this latest initiative.
Thank you, Leslie, for inviting me onto the programme. And yes, it is a new and exciting project, and one which we are already piloting in some schools in London.
So, Peter, what's behind this focus on a new foreign language?
Well, as you know, China used to be called a sleeping giant. Now, as the world's fastest-growing major economy, it is well and truly awake.
Yes, but what's that got to do with our children learning languages? Isn't it enough that children study French, German, or Spanish in school?
No, it's not enough, because things have moved on. Technological change has eliminated distance. The days are over when it made sense to concentrate solely on our immediate neighbours, commercially, politically, or linguistically.
So why are you encouraging the teaching of Mandarin Chinese?
Well, British exports to China are expected to quadruple by the end of the next decade, and young people have to be equipped with the skills they'll need in business, just as British companies will have to adapt in order to succeed in a rapidly changing world. Britain wants to have a workforce which is able to do business in other languages, and many employers are now actively looking to recruit multilingual staff. A survey last year found that more than 38% of employers were looking for Mandarin or Cantonese speakers to join their companies.
Can you give an example of an organisation seeking Mandarin speakers?
Yes, Tesco, which is one of the UK's largest supermarket chains and a major employer. Tesco's chairman has demanded that the government invest in Mandarin Chinese teaching so that young people are ready for a future in which China will play a big role.
So how can we ensure we have enough teachers to meet the government's requirements?
Well, the Prime Minister has just unveiled a programme to train 1,000 Mandarin language teachers over the next 5 years. This should ultimately provide enough teachers to ensure that every secondary school pupil in England who wants to learn the language can do so. The teachers will be trained through short courses at English universities and a special summer training course at Beijing University in China.
That sounds a challenging program. Are we going to be ready to start this within the next academic year?
We'll have to be. China is a strong economic force, and demand for fluent speakers of Chinese languages is increasing on a daily basis. It's only right that we invest in our children and provide them with the opportunity to learn these skills and widen their horizons. It's just a matter of time before.
That is the end of Part 1, Section A of the listening test. Now turn to Part 1, Section B. Listening, Part 1, Section B. You will hear Leslie Walker, an education reporter, talking to Maria Grant, a head teacher at a London secondary school, about plans to introduce Mandarin Chinese lessons into the school curriculum. For questions 6 to 10, choose the correct answer, A, B, or C. You will hear Section B twice. You have 1 minute to read the questions for Section B.
I've just been talking to Peter Brown from the Education Department, and he's been telling us about the new initiative to introduce Mandarin Chinese into schools across the UK. Maria, you're a head teacher at a London secondary school, and I'm sure you have a few thoughts about this latest government scheme.
Yes, I certainly do. The government wants every school, college and university to be twinned with an equivalent organisation in China within the next 5 years.
Well, I can see there are some benefits from this, as young people will be linking up with native Chinese speakers and really communicating. But how realistic is it to think that every secondary school pupil will have an opportunity to learn Mandarin?
That's a major concern. Yes, we should be offering children these opportunities, but there are other considerations. For example, Mandarin is a difficult language to learn, and many of our children only start learning a language when they are 14. What's more, most parents have never done any Chinese and wouldn't be able to help with homework. Children won't get this extra help, so how can they be expected to pass an exam in Mandarin Chinese in such a short space of time?
I can see why you're worried, but children manage to pass French, German and Spanish exams. Why would Mandarin be any different?
That's a good point. Yes, they do study European languages, but Mandarin is far more challenging for two reasons. Firstly, the script poses problems. There is no alphabet for reading and writing, just thousands of characters. Can you imagine that? Secondly, and perhaps more significantly, the tonal system is really hard for Westerners and is quite alien to them.
The tonal system? What's that?
Yes, exactly. In English, the meaning of a word doesn't change even if the tone of your voice does. In Mandarin, a single word can have several different meanings depending on the tone of your voice. It's like singing, where the high notes have different meanings to the low notes, even if the words are the same.
I can see why you might be worried. Is everything about Mandarin difficult?
No, actually the grammar is far easier than English grammar, as there are no tenses, no singular or plural forms, and the sounds can be fun to learn.
So, do you think English teenagers will be speaking Mandarin Chinese in the coming years?
The real question is how committed head teachers will be to introducing a subject which they believe many pupils will find very difficult. Let's not forget also that there could well be a shortage of teachers, and many parents may not fully support this initiative. The government will have to do...
Now listen again.
I've just been talking to Peter Brown from the Education Department, and he's been telling us about the new initiative to introduce Mandarin Chinese into schools across the UK. Maria, you're a head teacher at a London secondary school, and I'm sure you have a few thoughts about this latest government scheme.
Yes, I certainly do. The government wants every school, college and university to be twinned with an equivalent organisation in China within the next 5 years.
Well, I can see there are some benefits from this, as young people will be linking up with native Chinese speakers and really communicating. But how realistic is it to think that every secondary school pupil will have an opportunity to learn Mandarin?
That's a major concern. Yes, we should be offering children these opportunities, but there are other considerations. For example, Mandarin is a difficult language to learn, and many of our children only start learning a language when they are 14. What's more, most parents have never done any Chinese and wouldn't be able to help with homework. Children won't get this extra help, so how can they be expected to pass an exam in Mandarin Chinese in such a short space of time?
I can see why you're worried, but children manage to pass French, German and Spanish exams. Why would Mandarin be any different?
That's a good point. Yes, they do study European languages, but Mandarin is far more challenging for two reasons. Firstly, the script poses problems. There is no alphabet for reading and writing, just thousands of characters. Can you imagine that? Secondly, and perhaps more significantly, the tonal system is really hard for Westerners and is quite alien to them.
The tonal system? What's that?
Yes, exactly. In English, the meaning of a word doesn't change even if the tone of your voice does. In Mandarin, a single word can have several different meanings depending on the tone of your voice. It's like singing, where the high notes have different meanings to the low notes, even if the words are the same.
I can see why you might be worried. Is everything about Mandarin difficult?
No, actually the grammar is far easier than English grammar, as there are no tenses, no singular or plural forms, and the sounds can be fun to learn.
So, do you think English teenagers will be speaking Mandarin Chinese in the coming years?
The real question is how committed head teachers will be to introducing a subject which they believe many pupils will find very difficult. Let's not forget also that there could well be a shortage of teachers, and many parents may not fully support this initiative. The government will have to do...
That is the end of Part 1, Section B of the listening test. Please turn to Part 2. Listening, Part 2. Listen to three conversations, and for questions 11 to 20, choose the correct answer, A, B, or C. You will hear each conversation twice. You have 2 minutes to read the questions for Part 2. Conversation 1.
Hi, Jeff.
Hi, mate. How are things?
Great. I finally got the car I've been after.
No kidding. What have you got?
Well, you're never going to believe it, but you know those small cars they've been advertising on television?
Not the electric car.
That's the one. Well, I had a look yesterday, and honestly, they're just brilliant.
You are joking.
No, I'm dead serious.
What on earth were you thinking?
Wait till you see how well it goes. Honestly, it's so cheap to run, and I don't have to worry about the price of petrol, even if it goes up.
How does it work?
It's really easy. You just plug it into an electric socket in your house overnight, and it's all powered up and ready to go the next morning.
So, how do the prices compare with buying a normal petrol car?
No comparison. They're about 70% cheaper.
That's all very well, but what about practicality? I mean, what happens if you run out of power after 5 minutes?
Yeah, but That's not how it works, you see. Once it's charged up, you can drive about 200 miles before you need to recharge it. Now that can't be bad, can it?
All right, but if it's so good, how come no one else is driving one around?
Well, that's the point. They might well be. It's just that you wouldn't know. They don't have a big sign on them saying, "I'm an electric car," so you probably see a few of them each week without realizing it.
Well, I can't believe I'm saying this, but you're actually making it sound pretty good.
Well, what is there not to like? It goes further, costs less, and is environmentally safe. You know what? I'll pick you up later and you can see for yourself.
It's a deal. I'll see you later then.
Now listen again.
Hi, Jeff.
Hi, mate. How are things?
Great! I finally got the car I've been after.
No kidding. What have you got?
Well, you're never going to believe it, but you know those small cars they've been advertising on television?
Not the electric car.
That's the one. Well, I had a look yesterday, and honestly, they're just brilliant.
You are joking.
No, I'm dead serious.
What on earth were you thinking?
Wait till you see how well it goes. Honestly, it's so cheap to run, and I don't have to worry about the price of petrol, even if it goes up.
How does it work?
It's really easy. You just plug it into an electric socket in your house overnight, and it's all powered up and ready to go the next morning.
So, how do the prices compare with buying a normal petrol car?
No comparison. They're about 70% cheaper.
That's all very well, but what about practicality? I mean, what happens if you run out of power after 5 minutes?
Yeah, but that's not how it works, you see. Once it's charged up, you can drive about 200 miles before you need to recharge it. Now that can't be bad, can it?
All right, but if it's so good, how come no one else is driving one around?
Well, that's the point. They might well be. It's just that you wouldn't know. They don't have a big sign on them saying, "I'm an electric car," so you probably see a few of them each week without realizing it.
Well, I can't believe I'm saying this, but you're actually making it sound pretty good.
Well, what is there not to like? It goes further, costs less, and is environmentally safe. You know what? I'll pick you up later and you can see for yourself.
It's a deal. I'll see you later then.
Conversation 2.
Hi, Paul.
Hi, Amanda. What are you doing here?
I know. I bet you can't believe it. Me at a gym.
Well, it's not exactly your usual place to hang out, is it?
No, that's true. But I've just joined the Gold Membership Scheme.
Are you sure that's what you want? Don't you have to come just about every day to make it worthwhile?
I think that's probably true, but there's a special offer on at the moment, so I only pay the student rate, but get all the benefits.
Well, that sounds like a good deal. What do you want to do here? Are you planning to use the swimming pool?
Possibly, but I've actually joined to start badminton lessons.
Really? I didn't know they did badminton here.
I don't think they did till recently, but do you remember Andrew Staines?
Oh, hang on a minute. That name rings a bell, but I can't put a face to it.
He was a couple of years above us at school and was really good at PE and athletics. Anyway, he eventually played in the British badminton team. He's really good, and he's started teaching here on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Hey, if you are interested, why don't you come along as well?
You know, I might just do that. I always liked badminton at school.
Great! The more the merrier. I'll see you on Tuesday.
Yeah, bye for now.
See you.
Now listen again.
Hi, Paul.
Hi, Amanda. What are you doing here?
I know. I bet you can't believe it. Me at a gym.
Well, it's not exactly your usual place to hang out, is it?
No, that's true. But I've just joined the Gold Membership Scheme.
Are you sure that's what you want? Don't you have to come just about every day to make it worthwhile?
I think that's probably true, but there's a special offer on at the moment, so I only pay the student rate, but get all the benefits.
Well, that sounds like a good deal. What do you want to do here? Are you planning to use the swimming pool?
Possibly, but I've actually joined to start badminton lessons.
Really? I didn't know they did badminton here.
I don't think they did till recently, but do you remember Andrew Staines?
Oh, hang on a minute. That name rings a bell, but I can't put a face to it.
He was a couple of years above us at school and was really good at PE and athletics. Anyway, he eventually played in the British badminton team. He's really good, and he's started teaching here on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Hey, if you are interested, why don't you come along as well?
You know, I might just do that. I always liked badminton at school.
Great! The more the merrier. I'll see you on Tuesday.
Yeah, bye for now.
See you.
Conversation 3.
Hello.
Meg, is that you?
Oh, hi, Tony. Are you okay?
Well, yes. Actually, you'll never believe what's happened.
What? Nothing bad, I hope.
No, the opposite. I've just found out that I've won 2 tickets to a concert.
Really? That's great. Who are you going to see?
It's a new indie band called Neighbourhood. I've heard a couple of their tracks on the radio and I think they're quite popular.
Yeah, I've heard them on Radio 10. There's a programme on Wednesday evening which looks at new bands and they featured a few weeks ago. I remember they stuck in my mind because the lead singer, Jeff Banks, comes from the same area as my mum. In fact, she knows his auntie because they both worked in the same office a few years ago.
No kidding. What a small world. Do you know any of the group members?
Not really. I think the lead guitarist was quite good and did a small college concert a couple of years ago, but it wasn't anything like the size of the audience they'll be playing to when you go to see them. How did you win the tickets?
It was a raffle at the local church. I bought the last 2 tickets. How lucky was that?
Oh, that's fantastic. When's the concert?
It's at the end of the month down in London, so I'll have to stay over at my brother's. I mean, it's still a bit of a hike to the venue, and I'll have to hop on the train to get to it. It's actually a 3-day music festival, and Neighbourhood are performing on day 2. I'm quite looking forward to it.
Well, if you feel you'd like to give the tickets away, I'd be happy to take them off your hands. I'm not usually a fan of indie music, or some of that stuff you listen to, but I've heard good things about Neighbourhood.
Well, I'm no indie fan either, but a free live gig is not something I'm going to pass up. But I will tell you all about it afterwards, and I'll try to get some photos on my mobile.
OK. Enjoy the concert, and let me know how it goes.
Will do. Bye then.
Bye.
Now listen again.
Hello.
Meg, is that you?
Oh, hi, Tony. Are you okay?
Well, yes. Actually, you'll never believe what's happened.
What? Nothing bad, I hope.
No, the opposite. I've just found out that I've won 2 tickets to a concert.
Really? That's great. Who are you going to see?
It's a new indie band called Neighbourhood. I've heard a couple of their tracks on the radio and I think they're quite popular.
Yeah, I've heard them on Radio 10. There's a programme on Wednesday evening which looks at new bands and they featured a few weeks ago. I remember they stuck in my mind because the lead singer, Jeff Banks, comes from the same area as my mum. In fact, she knows his auntie because they both worked in the same office a few years ago.
No kidding. What a small world. Do you know any of the group members?
Not really. I think the lead guitarist was quite good and did a small college concert a couple of years ago, but it wasn't anything like the size of the audience they'll be playing to when you go to see them. How did you win the tickets?
It was a raffle at the local church. I bought the last 2 tickets. How lucky was that?
Oh, that's fantastic. When's the concert?
It's at the end of the month down in London, so I'll have to stay over at my brother's. I mean, it's still a bit of a hike to the venue, and I'll have to hop on the train to get to it. It's actually a 3-day music festival, and Neighbourhood are performing on day 2. I'm quite looking forward to it.
Well, if you feel you'd like to give the tickets away, I'd be happy to take them off your hands. I'm not usually a fan of indie music, or some of that stuff you listen to, but I've heard good things about Neighbourhood.
Well, I'm no indie fan either, but a free live gig is not something I'm going to pass up. But I will tell you all about it afterwards, and I'll try to get some photos on my mobile.
OK. Enjoy the concert, and let me know how it goes.
Will do. Bye then.
Bye.